So basically, Cersei, we're in the middle of 111. Cersei is saying, times have been really tough. War was difficult. You've had all these hardships at sea. You should stay with me a while. You and your men. And you can drink, and you can eat, and you can rest, and you can be healthy both in body and in mind. So mentally and physically get strong. Thus did she speak, and we assented. We agreed. We stayed with Cersei for a whole 12 months, feasting upon an untold quantity of both meat and wine. Wait. Back up. Hold the phone. How long did they stay with her?
A year.
So these are men who just can't wait to get home, yet they stay for a year. It's a little interesting, right? We can assume that where Odysseus and Cersei are concerned, there's been quite a lot of cuddling. Right? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But when the year had passed, in the waning of moons and the long days had come around, my men called me apart and said, Sir, it is time you began to think about going home. If so be, you are to be spared to see your house and native country at all. Who decided it was time to go?
Cersei.
No. The men. The men are the ones that say, you know, if you really want to get back to Ithaca, remember, wife, son, family, country, don't you think we should get going? Thus did the men speak, and I assented. Thereon, through the livelong day to the going down of the sun, we feasted our fill on meat and wine. But when the sun went down and it came on dark, the men laid themselves down to sleep in the covered cloisters. I, however, after I had gotten into bed with Cersei, besought her by her knees, and the goddess listened to what I had to say. Cersei, I said, please keep the promise you made me about furthering me on my homeward voyage. I want to get back, and so do my men. They are always pestering me with their complaints as soon as ever your back is turned. So he kind of makes it seem like it's the men who want to go, but he still asks for a present. And the goddess answered, Odysseus, noble son of Laertes, you shall none of you stay here any longer if you do not want to. But there is another journey which you have got to take before you can sail home. You must go to the house of Hades and of dread Persephone to consult the ghost of the blind Theban prophet Tiresias, whose reason is still unshaken. To him alone has Persephone left his understanding, even in death, but the other ghosts flit about aimlessly. So where does he have to make a little detour?
Hades.
Yeah, he's got to go to the underworld. Who does he have to meet there?
Hades and Persephone.
Nope.
Oh,
a dude named Tiresias.
Yeah,
yeah. He's a blind prophet. Who else do we know that was blind?
Homer.
Yeah, Homer was supposedly blind. So this makes us wonder if Homer thinks he's the wise dude. We're not sure. So he's supposed to meet this blind prophet. And remember, a prophet is someone who can see the future. So Cersei tells him, go meet Tiresias. She says, whose reason is still unshaken. Even though he's a ghost, he's still like... has his mind. He still has his brain. And he's going to have advice for Odysseus to help him get home. To him alone has Persephone left his understanding, even in death, but the other ghosts flit about aimlessly. Odysseus continues, I was dismayed when I heard this. I sat up in the bed and wept, and would gladly have lived no longer to see the light of the sun. But presently, when I was tired of weeping and tossing myself about, top of 112, I said, and who shall guide me upon this voyage? For the house of Hades is a port that no ship can reach. You will want no guide, she answered. Just raise your mast, set your white sails, sit quite still, and the north wind will blow you there of itself. When your ship has traversed the waters of Oceanus, you will reach the fertile shore of Persephone's country, with its groves of tall poplars and willows that shed their fruit untimely. Here, beach your ship upon the shore of Oceanus, and go straight on to the dark abode of Hades. You will find it near the place where the rivers, whose names I have a really hard time pronouncing, flow into Acheron, and you will see a rock near it, just where the two roaring rivers run into one another. When you have reached this spot, as I now tell you, dig a trench, a cubit or so in length, breadth, and depth, and pour into it as a drink offering to all the dead. First honey mixed with milk, then wine, and in the third place water, sprinkling white barley meal over the whole thing. Moreover, you must offer many prayers to the poor feeble ghosts, and promise them that when you get back to Ithaca, you will sacrifice a barren heifer to them, the best you have, and will load the pyre with good things. More particularly, you must promise that Tiresias shall have a black sheep all to himself, the finest in all your flocks. All of these details are like precautionary measures. Okay? Circe tells him you won't have any trouble getting to Hades, because if you just raise your sail, the north wind will take care of it. But when you get there, you have to make all of these prayers. You have to dig this trench, and you have to pour in milk and honey and wine and water and barley, and you have to promise sacrifices. They have to do all of this so that the ghosts don't, like, attack them. Okay? Is it common for people to visit the underworld and come back? No. And obviously Odysseus wants to go back. He's not planning a one-way trip. So this advice that Circe gives him is how to get in safely and make sure you can get back out. When you shall have thus besought the ghosts with your prayers, offer them a ram and a black ewe, bending their heads towards Erebus, but yourself turn away from them as though you would make toward the river. On this, many dead men's ghosts will come to you, and you must tell your men to skin the two sheep that you have just killed, and offer them as a burnt sacrifice with prayers to Hades and Persephone. Then draw your sword and sit there, so as to prevent any other poor ghost from coming near the spilt blood before Tiresias shall have answered your questions. The seer Tiresias will presently come to you and will tell you all about your voyage home, what stages you are to make, and how you are to sail the sea so as to reach your home. It was daybreak by the time Circe was all done speaking, so she dressed me in my shirt and cloak. As for herself, she threw a beautiful light gossamer fabric over her shoulders, fastening it with a golden girdle around her waist, and she covered her head with a mantle. Then I went about among the men everywhere all over the place, and spoke kindly to each of them man by man. "You must not lie here sleeping any longer," I said to them. "We must be going, for Circe has told me all about it." And on this they did as I bade them. Even so, however, a little side story, I did not get them away without misadventure. We had with us a certain youth named Elpenor, not very remarkable for sense or courage, who had gotten drunk and was lying on the housetop, away from the rest of the men, to sleep off his liquor in the cool. When he heard the noise of the men bustling about, he jumped up all of a sudden and forgot all about coming down by the main staircase. So he tumbled right off the roof and broke his neck, and his soul went down to the house of Hades. Little side story, did you catch it? They have one young soldier with them named Elpenor, not remarkable for sense or courage. In other words, he's not very smart, he's not very brave. And for some reason, he got drunk and decided to take a nap on the roof. And when he woke up, oops, forgot about the stairs, fell off the roof, broke his neck, went down to Hades. Strange little side note, right? It'll matter in a moment. Well, it'll matter eventually. When I had gotten the men together, I said to them, "You think you are all about to start home again, but Circe has explained to me that instead of this, we have got to go to the house of Hades and Persephone to consult the ghost of the Theban prophet Tiresias." The men were brokenhearted as they heard me, and threw themselves on the ground, groaning and tearing their hair. But they did not mend matters by crying. When we reached the seashore, weeping and lamenting our fate, Circe brought the ram and the ewe, and we made them fast hard by the ship. She passed through the midst of us without our knowing it, for who can see the comings and goings of a god, if the god does not wish to be seen?